You don't really know what you're doing. You're like one of those European pop bands that sing in English but don't actually know what any of the lyrics mean.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Hey, it's Jack Stein in for Dory Monson. Obviously, The Big Lead. Snow, snow, snow. Mr. John Curley is in the studio, so we're going to be discussing that with him. Let's get to The Big Lead.
The Big Lead. Top story.
John Curley in the studio.
Yes.
How are you, sir?
Yes. Hello. I'm here only for you. Hold on. Let me close it. Open the door. There we go. Aaron, can you close the door on your way out?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you, Jack, for having me on. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller.
Yeah, thank you, John Curley. So, John Curley, you wanted to talk about snow. You have this idea that snow brings people together. But in the era of COVID-19, wouldn't you say that this is a bad idea for people to meet up and congregate in homes? They might spread the disease. What say you?
I don't. When I'm saying come together, I don't necessarily mean go to somebody's house and have a fondue. I'm talking about just generally the normal interchange with a stranger, which is at a gas station, supermarket, stuff like that. In line at a supermarket, it's turning to the other individual that you never would have a conversation with, whether it's sports, something big, like, oh my gosh, tomorrow I can't believe the Super Bowl, the Seahawks, blah, 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 right? You get that with people. Or snow, weather. Normally snow because it's more interesting and inches can be talked about rather than heat waves. But because the only question you can ask a stranger during heat wave is like, hot enough for you? You know, doesn't really go anywhere from there. But snow is the great, and I feel bad because I'm going to actually tell the story again on the show that I do from 3 to 6. So, Sean, bear with me. But, Jack, you don't mind if I share with you, but can you give me 2 minutes?
It's 3 to 7, John.
Yeah, John.
Sorry, I forgot. That extra hour just blows
yeah,
by.
Yeah, you kind of zone out.
Jack, I remember one time when we went 2 weeks after September 11th, Evening Magazine went down to Ground Zero. We were doing a story on a woman who had made a sculpture, a concrete sculpture, and she took it from Aberdeen and she drove it all the way across the country. And it ended up there, right there in the middle of Ground Zero. So there was this cop there. No, he's a fire chief. And I was talking to him and I said, so it's been 2 weeks. What's been happening? How has the city changed? And he said to me, he goes, you used to live here. And I said, yeah. He goes, you remember when it would snow? I mean, this is like right out of a movie. The guy's got the face of a big Irish guy, you know, with the accent. And he goes, remember when it was going to snow in New York? And I go, yeah. He goes, everybody talk about the snow, right? You're waiting on the bus. So you're sitting there at the bus. You see the same guy every day, you know, waiting on the bus, right? And you never talk to the guy, right? You know, because, I mean, the teams here in New York suck. So you don't talk to the guy, right? Never talk to him. But then all of a sudden, you know, the weather, it's going to snow. You turn to him, you go, I hit 8 inches. Oh, my God, I hit 12. Gee, what are they going to do? You know, and everybody on the bus, bah, 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 you know, snow. Hey, what time? When's it going to start? Oh, my God, we got to get some, beer, blah, blah, blah. Everybody, you turn to that stranger, everybody talk, talk, talk. Snow, snow, snow. Snow, right? It's all about, like, everybody. We're all in it. And I go, I remember. Yeah, that one, though, with a few times we would have it. Yeah, everybody's talking about it. Yeah, you see even on the subway, people talking, right? Strangers. And I said, yeah. He goes, snow's gone. I said, it's been 2 weeks. I know. Snow's gone. People aren't talking. I said, they're not talking about September 11th? It's 2 weeks from then. He says, well, Upper West Side doesn't care. I mean, that's not something they see. Midtown, you know, little bit. Down here, people still see it. They smell it. They see it. They hear the backhoes. They hear the ambulances and stuff. But the snow's gone. And it was such a poetic sort of way of expressing that for, if you know New York, people that live uptown never go downtown. People live midtown, stay midtown. So no one ever talks to anybody other than, like, you know, you're just sort of in your little group. But I thought that was such a beautiful way of describing how they were all in it. And then it just went. And when he looked at me and said, the snow's gone, I thought, golly, that is like a David Mamet Broadway monologue. It was really something, right? I mean, like, you'd cast him right out of Central Casting. The big belly, the kind of the ruddy face. You could see the broken veins around his nose. He probably drinks a little too much. And weather does do that for people. It is the one common denominator that everybody has, regardless, because it rains on both the poor and the rich alike. And when it comes to something like this, I mean, not to me, I love the snow. I love the fact that it is the great uniter, that you're at the gas station or the supermarket, and there's this sense of excitement. It really brings out the child in everybody, because it, you know, it's a chance for everything to stop and the silence to begin and the snow to fall and the quiet of the snow. And your life is interrupted just for a little while. And then all of a sudden people come out of their houses and they're shoveling driveways. And hopefully maybe the politics of everything kind of subsides at least for a little while. And then eventually, as my fire chief said, you know, then the snow goes away. So that's why I like the snow so much. And I hopefully this, you know, people stay safe, obviously, but they're thinking 4 to 6 inches or 4 to 8 inches. It doesn't matter. It's still a chance for everybody just to stop. Nature takes over. And nature has the final word. So that's why I like it.
I lived in New Hampshire for a very brief period of time in my life. It was a very dark and terrible period of time in my life when I was living in the upper half of New Hampshire.
Yeah.
And I had come from the fine state of California, and I go to live with my dad, who was just a terrible human being. And I had never seen that volume of snow before. I had never experienced it before. And one day, I had re-enrolled in high school. I had already been a high school dropout once, so I figured I'd give it one more try to see if I could pull it off this time. And so one day, I just didn't get up. And my dad, furious, he leaves me, gets in his El Camino, drives off, leaves Jack Stein alone. Now, I didn't want to get a truancy. I didn't want to get a tardy. I didn't want any of that to happen. So I'm at a new school. I've already dropped out of high school one time. So I say, I'm going to walk. I'm going to walk the 4.5 miles from my dad's house to the school. This is in January. This is in New Hampshire. I am used to sunny beaches and, you know, beautiful women and you know, seagulls and a cool, crisp breeze coming off of the Pacific Ocean. And now I am walking. I make it to the end of my dad's driveway, and it's 15 degrees. It's, you know, 18 degrees. And I'm wearing my California winter coat, which is basically just like a rain slick in a way. No insulation whatsoever. And I go, I can't do this anymore. There's no way I could live in this climate. I find snow to be, if there's anything that is my kryptonite, it would be snow. So despite your very sweet and heartfelt story, John Curley, I find snow to be absolutely miserable. I find it to be unbelievable. But I can appreciate the perspective of bringing people together. But couldn't you also say, John Curley, that it's the same thing has happened with COVID-19, where now people are waving at each other more. You see somebody that you haven't seen in a while.
No, the opposite. COVID-19 has been the great divider. First of all, you can't see people's faces. And within a thousandth of a second. It's the time it takes for a hummingbird to flap its wings once. Our brain is able to perceive threat or friend or foe. It has a series of sort of patterns it looks for in the human face to determine, who is this person to me, and am I communicating with it on a level that we cannot even possibly perceive? And then all of a sudden you cover 50% of the person's face. You're not really communicating, right? You look at their eyes and what they're saying, but a whole level of communication goes, sarcasm, cynicism, cute teasing, flirting, all it gone. Because we have a mask on, because the government has told us to wear the mask. So we have the mask on. So no, and I don't. And then the politics of it, like especially around here, I have a visceral reaction when I see people walking down the street with their dog and it's windy and they're out there and they have a mask on. And now they wear two masks. And I feel like saying, please, you know, I got it. When you're indoor, you got it, and you're close, got it. But like, really? You gonna have a mask on? Outside,
well, safety first, John Curley.
In the snow.
Safety first.
Yeah. Okay. Well, then don't go outside and don't have a dog. I mean, you have a safety. What are you talking about, right? So to me, that just bothers me. But no, I don't think COVID has brought anybody together. I think it's been the great, huge political divider. and separates people and friends and family and Facebook. It's just this now it's this whole thing of like, oh, you don't believe or you believe or you think Fauci's an evil person or Fauci should be sainted. No, that's completely separated people into groups. But just because you had a bad experience in New Hampshire, I'll tell you this. It is the thing that makes people, it causes them to sort of dig down. The fact that you could even think that you could walk 4 miles in the snow, was it also wind? Did you have a lot of good wind going on too?
It was miserable. Yeah, it was awful. Yeah. It was absolutely awful.
Yeah. I had a friend who got lost in Mount Washington. Is that New Hampshire, right?
Yeah.
Hugh Herr, his name is. And Hugh Herr went on to lose both of his legs below the knees. And then ended up inventing, you know, those like boing, 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 boing leggy things?
Yeah, the Blade Runners.
I think he was part of the inventor of that. He and a friend went out to Mount Washington in New Hampshire and dressed much like you in like a slick thing, light thing. And they didn't expect to get caught out there. And a snowstorm blew in. And I believe, if memory serves, Hugh wrote a book about it. I think they were stuck and lost for like 3 days, 4 days. Well, the people of New Hampshire are out there looking for them, and one guy lost his life trying to find Hugh Herr and his friend. And Hugh told me that on the third night, they decided that's it. They're done. They're going to die. They know they're going to die. They're lying on, they lay together holding one another. And he said, the only time I had felt any warmth is when I finally decided just to release my bladder, and I filled my pants with my urine, and the warmth was overwhelming, and within seconds, it was frozen, and we both laid there and thought, well, this is the end of our life. Well, they were found, and the one guy suffered all sorts of problems, and Hugh lost both of his legs below his knees, and then he ended up going to MIT and then ended up with these Blade Runner things or helped create that. So it's this weird thing. And the people of New Hampshire were so mad at them. He had to get police to stand in front of the hospital room to protect him because the people in New Hampshire that went out looking for him, they were part of the rescue team, were so mad that he was so irresponsible as to go up to Mount Washington at that time of the year without precautions or not telling anyone. So, to me, you dodged a huge bullet on this one, Jack Stein, because you could have been missing a leg, but then you could have invented something that would change the world. But you ended up dropping out of high school after that, or what finally happened? You left us hanging. Did you ever make it there to high school?
Well, okay, so I made it about a quarter of the way down the road to the high school, and then a local PD officer pulled over and said, I'm not going to let you walk in this weather.
Wow.
So I got taken. Yeah, I got a local guy, real thick, really thick Massachusetts kind of accent.
Yeah, sure.
Really, really, I mean, just laying it on as thick. I could not
replicate. Was he looking for a place to park?
Exactly.
Yeah, okay,
I mean,
good.
The guy was like as Matt Damon as you could possibly get.
Good. Sure. Yeah.
So he takes me to the school and he drops me off. And I was thinking to myself, how cool is it that I just got dropped off at the high school in a cop car? Everybody's going to want to talk to me about it because I'm the new kid from the, you know, out of state who just got dropped off. I'm going to make up a really awesome story. Nobody cared. Nobody cared whatsoever, because that happens to people when their car breaks down, mm-hmm. or let's say they just the local PD, that's just part of the standard procedure.
Yeah.
Someone's walking and it's 15 degrees outside, you're going to pull them over, take them where they need to go.
Mm.
So that was kind of a culture shock to me. You know, John Curley, on your point about the masking thing, mm-hmm. I got a phone call. About 2 days ago from a local rehab, and they said, can you come in? We have a deaf woman who wants to come in, and we don't have any interpreters. We can't get any interpreters right now. It's too short notice. Would you please come in, and would you please do it? I said, absolutely, I'm happy to do it. I'm very fluent in American Sign Language, not certified, but I'm very fluent in it, so I can volunteer, and I can say, let me help you out as long as she signs a waiver, right? So I go, and I am interpreting for this lady, and when I get there, when I first get there, she is wearing the mask, and I am wearing the mask, and the communication is just not happening. It's kind of, I'm missing different subtleties, I'm missing how she's feeling, I can't really tell what's going on with her. All I'm looking at is the eyes, and her eyes are moving all over the place. It's totally crazy. So I say, we got to do something else here because this is not working. So I have her take off the mask and I go, what is going on with you? Turns out she was having some kind of horrible affliction going on in her chest. She was having chest pains and she couldn't articulate that. We had to end up calling 911. So when people say that the mask thing, it should be, you know, ubiquitous and we should all be doing it all the time.
Oh.
There are circumstances where it's potentially detrimental to have that kind of thing. You see what I'm saying, John?
Yes, I don't know. I have heard that even after the vaccine, the CDC or somebody, experts want us to continue to wear masks and maybe it'd be a good idea to always wear them. I'm like, no way. I have this mask right here. Sean, can you verify the color? What should be the color of the inside of this mask?
What color should it be?
Yeah.
Okay, right now it's white.
Well,
I see some like brown marks in there.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is chocolate or blood. I don't know what. That is the mask that I use. The other day, I'm out with a friend of mine. Listen to this story. We're standing there to go into a grocery store, and the guy goes, excuse me, got to put a mask on. And my friend goes, I don't have a mask. And the guy goes, well, sorry, I can't come in. So he turns around, and there's a Starbucks nearby, and so there's a garbage can there. And there's no top on the garbage can. He roots through the garbage can and finds a mask and puts it on, and we go into the grocery store. And the guy's like, you didn't have to do that. I mean, you got to wear a mask, but like, really? Right out of the garbage can? And my buddy's like, I don't care. I don't care. My immune system can handle this. And I was like, COVID? And he's like, no, you're not going to get COVID from a mask that's in a garbage can. I said, know that. I read that online. I'm like, no, but it's so weird about these masks. You see them all over the place on the ground. It's the weirdest thing. You walk out of Home Depot, they're laying there in a puddle. I guess people just figure, well, I'm taking it off and I don't want to touch it. So just throw it on the ground. It's like the new modern condom, but stays on better.
I mean, I have seen them in my neighborhood in particular. People just discard them right into the street. They just do not care. It is worse than any other litter in my neighborhood. There are just mountains and mountains of masks all over the place. It's almost like New York in the 1970s when the garbage guys went on strike. It's just disgusting. They're all over the place, and yet people just seem fine with it. Like this is just supposed to be a natural byproduct of COVID-19 is that you take off the mask and you discard it and you get rid of it.
Yeah.
I find it to be every time I see one, I have the urge to go down and pick it up. But then there's this nagging feeling in the back of my mind that says, oh, you're going to get COVID-19 again. Mm-hmm. You're going to get the new strain. The fear has been incepted into my mind, John Curley. And so now I live with it on a daily basis.
Well, I'd recommend leaving them there on the sidewalk or whatever puddle or whatever pile of dog poop it's near. My friend will pick it up and wear it. So because he's read somewhere online that you can't get COVID from a mask you find in a garbage can.
That's got to be one of those WebMD things where someone just kind of casually scans through it and they all of a sudden they believe that they have cancer or they believe.
Amazing. All right. People are tuning into the Dory Monson show. Jackson, you're not giving them any news. It's just me telling some story about snow. Do you care?
I care very much, John Curley, because it's you delivering it with your sultry, smooth, buttery voice.
Oh,
and you get everybody. The snow is gone. The New York man said, the snow is gone.
Snow is gone.
And everybody's just deeply affected. It's very emotional. Thank you so much, John Curley, for coming by. We appreciate it so very much.
Thank you. Now I'm getting ready for my show, which is basically me saying the same stories all over again.
You're listening to the Dory Monson Show. That was Mr. John Curley.
Hi, Jack.
We got to take a real quick break. We will be right back after this. Sitting in for Dory Monson this afternoon. We get further and further into the Twilight Zone on a daily basis. On a daily basis, we are getting more into this bizarre world where people think that you can impeach a president who's no longer in office. You can impeach a private citizen who's no longer in office. You can have somebody. I was just listening to that report at the bottom of the hour that this is a quote-unquote impeachment trial, and yet Chief Justice John Roberts isn't there. Even the Constitution says he has to be there. Patrick Leahy, senator, is going to be overseeing. He's both a witness and a juror and overseeing the trial. None of this makes any sense whatsoever. And there's another, this is a study that came out of UW, speaking of just this, it makes no sense. We live in a bizarre, backwards world where things are happening that should not be happening. This is an article that says, "Mask up and don't kiss, what infectious disease experts at UW and beyond say about COVID-19. Okay, all right. It says, trying to hook up with someone outside of your pod here at month 12 of the coronavirus pandemic, with Valentine's Day looming, if so, you're not alone, and there's no need for shame. But if there are precautions you should take, wear a mask, parentheses, or two, avoid kissing and embrace the novelty and kink." I don't even want to go into this. They go into this great description about how you should conduct yourself if you're going to be having relations during Valentine's Day. And I can't think of anything less romantic than putting on two masks with somebody else and then attempting to kiss or attempting to embrace in any way, shape, or form. So they go through this whole thing about what people should be doing on Valentine's Day. And I can tell you that it's just this is a weird, bizarre land we are living in, where someone puts out an article about instructions about how to be safe during COVID-19. The people that they're talking about are likely the people less likely to get COVID-19. And it is amazing to me that people just accept this as being completely rational and completely fine. And I talk about this a lot, but it's worth mentioning again. I wonder what's going to happen when COVID-19 is over and done with in a couple of months. Fauci says April, some people say June, but when all of this is over, are people going to be able to go back to having a normal life? Or have people just accepted the idea that this is the way that we're going to be going forward, that you're going to have to wear a mask all of the time? Meaning, are people going to be so scared of living a normal life that they don't know how to do normal things like have a Valentine's Day or have a birthday or go to a movie or go meet with friends? They use this. There's all this new language that we're supposed to adopt. A pod, meaning people in your immediate circle who you know have not contracted COVID-19. Double masking. As if that works, right? We're all supposed to now just accept these ideas. Social distancing, right? That was one of the phrases of the year back when Webster's released that information. We're all supposed to be just totally fine with it, in the same way that we're having a quote-unquote impeachment at the moment. I'll tell you what else is bizarre. So Joe Biden, everyone's talking about what he's going to be doing with his wife during the first Valentine's Day. Oh, it's going to be so sweet. Joe and Jill Biden appeared in front of reporters on the North Lawn of the White House Friday morning to talk about Dr. Jill's Valentine's Day art display. Oh, man, I can't get enough of that. Here's a quick clip of what that interaction sounded like.
What's your gift for Valentine's Day?
It's not Valentine's Day. I'm not telling you. Valentine's Day is a big day. Jill's favorite day. For real.
For 4 years, you had the press being nothing but nasty to the former president and impugning all these just horrible motives and saying he was the most awful person. And now they're giving softball questions to Joe Biden. Hey, what are you going to be doing for Valentine's? It's just old Joe Biden. Hey, old Joe Biden, what are you doing out there? And it's fascinating to me how people don't notice it. Maybe we've just been lulled into this idea that this is how the president should be treated. Like, we, one kind of president, we treat them one way. Another kind of president, we treat them the other way. I think we got another clip of them out there. It's really odd where someone asks for coffee. Someone says, hey, can I get a cup of that coffee? And Joe Biden just brings it over in the era of COVID. Here's what that sounds like.
You got a nice pair of dogs there.
I do. They're good boys. That's good.
I'll bring the donuts next Friday if you come back.
Okay. I tell you what, I apologize here. I didn't have a taste. I didn't even have a taste. Here, come on. I promise you.
I'm gonna get in trouble. I don't have my mask.
I give you my word. I didn't have any.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. All right. See you guys.
Thank you, sir.
Bye, Mr. President. Thank you.
Happy Valentine's.
Hey, happy Valentine's Day. I was told that COVID-19 was very, very serious, and COVID-19 was a very, very big deal. And when it first came around, I took it really seriously for the first 2 weeks. When everybody said, oh, you got to do 15 days to stop the spread, and you can't touch anybody, and you can't go anywhere, I was fine with that. But now I feel like I'm being mocked. Now I feel like it's like a big joke to everybody else. Like, hey, wear two masks. And everybody goes, oh, okay. And then they're just laughing behind closed doors. And then they go, well, don't get near anybody, but here's Joe Biden getting within 6 feet of somebody and handing them a coffee cup. And then they go behind closed doors and everybody just laughs. And we're all just supposed to be okay with it. I think this is why I was so excited when Inslee announced that it was going to be opening regions back up and that everybody was going to be able to go back to living a normal type life, but then the center of the state is still shut down. And it's so disheartening to see, you know, I've had the same thing, the same premise the entire time during COVID-19, which is that you just open everything back up and you allow people to be adults and you allow people to just go about their lives. And those who are the most vulnerable, they get to do the shelter in place and they get to do the social distancing. And if they want to wear two masks, if it makes them feel better, they can go ahead and do it. But everybody else should just be living a normal life. But if you propose that, Nicole, as you know, when you propose that, what do people say about you? They say that you're anti-mask and anti-vaxxer, a COVID denier, and they impugn all these terrible motives to you.
Kill the grandparents.
Kill the grandparents. That's another really popular one. Mm-hmm. I've actually, you know, Nicole, when you were talking about your situation earlier in the show, I thought, what care and consideration for people who could potentially get COVID-19. I have found that the people who kind of rally around the open back up and everything should just be open and people should go about their lives, those tend to be the people who have the most concern about people in their own lives who might contract COVID-19. I'll give you an example. A very good friend of mine, he's 73 years old. He just happened to have he was having a hard time getting on the list to go and get vaccinated. So I said, you know what? I'll set it up for you. I'll drive you over there and we will take care of it together. Took care of it for him. But at the same time, I recognize that we need to open all this back up again so everybody can just get back to their lives. I'm Jack Stein filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. We have to take a really, really quick break. But when we get back, we're going to be doing the awesome audio of the week. If you want to find more of my content, Human Genius is my YouTube channel. You get to see my beautiful face in the multi-million dollar studio I'm broadcasting from right at this very moment. We'll be right back after this. Jack Stein sitting in for Dory Monson, wrapping up the show with some awesome audio from the week. Nicole, you got all those queued up. Let's get to number three.
Oh, Sean, you're going to play the sounder?
Oh.
We got some audio of the day, or the week.
Yeah, okay.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio, clips of the week.
Sorry, we don't do the numbers anymore.
No, we don't do the numbers.
Oh, you know, I always thought that, you know, it's as a, yeah, no, that's totally fine. Professional broadcaster, you roll with it.
Yeah, I don't know why the awesome audio is always a disaster for us. Don't worry about it.
Excellent.
Anyway, the number, we are going to count backwards, though. So one of our favorites, but not the favorite clip of the week is, of course, the Super Bowl seems like it was weeks ago now, but it was actually just last weekend. And on Monday, we played this cut of the play-by-play of a streaker at the Super Bowl.
Second down 20, 5:03 to go. Someone has run on the field. Some guy with a bra. And now he's not being chased. He's running down the middle of the 40. Arms in the air and a victory salute. He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants. He's being chased to the 30. He breaks a tackle from a security guard. The 20, down the middle, the 10, the 5. He slides at the 1, and they converge on him at the goal line. Pull up your pants. Take off the bra and be a man. And the players with hands on hips at the other end of the field are looking at him and shaking their head and saying, why, oh, why is this taking place in a Super Bowl?
I think we need that kind of thing.
I know. An update on that guy. I guess he tried to collect on a bet, too, and the payment was blocked. They didn't let him collect on it. So, serves him right.
I'm totally fine with streakers. I understand that there's a lot of decorum that goes on with the game of football and that particular event is the biggest one of the year and we all have to take it very seriously. But there's a certain amount of joy that I get, and I imagine other people get as well, when you hear an announcer who's this trained professional and he is doing his best to maintain his composure. Just an amazing, amazing piece of audio. I will be listening to that again later. Let's get to number two.
So this is one of my favorite stories. I don't know if Dory would agree with me, but there was a Florida family that came across a 16-foot python earlier in the week, and I just love this family. So this is Aaron Brown telling Fox 13 about the snake he saw in the grass.
I just caught a glimpse of something shiny in the grass. I thought to myself, I said, dang, that's a big snake. And I had my mother with me, and she goes, well, get out and get it. I said, you get out and get it. I said, if that joker catches me, I said, you can't help me.
Which, I appreciate that. And I don't think I would have gotten out to get it at all. So, and this is Aaron calling his cousin William to come and help him get the snake.
And I told him, I said, man, I said, watch that thing. I said, I'm on my way. We're going to catch that big rascal.
Oh, that's just my pet snake, Reggie.
Happy to oblige. So they ended up shooting this 6-foot-long Burmese python that weighed about 300 pounds.
We finally got him to come a little bit, and he pulled back on us. Once we got him pulled out, he just kept coming. We were like, my God, what a snake. Then we measured him and laid him down and the two kids down beside him just to get a rough idea, and ended up finding a tape measure.
I actually ended up having three kids lay down, I think, eventually. And it was, like I said, 16 feet long. Then they found 300 eggs in it.
We're down in the Everglades, you know, trying to stop these pythons from migrating farther north. Hopefully this is a rogue snake, and they haven't migrated this far. But these boys definitely stopped an invasion by limiting a big breeding female like that.
Ugh, just grossing me out. And of course, Aaron said he'll keep his eye out in case it wasn't just a rogue snake.
I've been watching every ditch on the way to and from work every day to hope to see another one now.
Ugh, gross. I would not be hoping to see another one. Anyway, I just love that. And I mean, I grew up with a grandpa that hated snakes so much. I saw them, not treated so well when they were found. And I don't know what I'd do if I saw a 16-foot python, but I like these guys.
Let's get to, before we run out of time, let's get to number one.
All right. Number one was also towards the beginning of the week. This was Joe Biden getting a tour. It was a virtual tour of the stadium in Arizona where they were giving mass vaccinations out. A nurse, I'm sure, was introduced to him as a nurse, but he forgot about that detail. She gave him a very nice tour. And then this is what he had to say to her at the end.
Well, are you a freshman at the university?
No. <I'm kidding. laughs>
You look like a freshman.
Well, thank you.
Thank you for what you're doing. It really matters.
Such a creep.
Yeah, man. It's so, I know what he was trying to do. He was trying to be this really kind of cordial older guy. He's, hey, pretty lady. I get what he was trying to do, but something about it came across so seedy. And the first time I heard it, it's so greasy. It just, oh man, please leave her alone. Oh man, I'm Jack Stein. I've been filling in for Mr. Dory Monson. It's been a pleasure as per usual. I will see you guys next time.
Voter, aren't you supposed to lie to me and kiss my butt?
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.